You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The College Baseball Experience on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy on Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their new over-under game. Just head over to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100. That's sleeper.com/SGP. And make sure to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. What's going on, everybody? I opened up the podcast today with a video that I took during my freshman year of college when I was working security during a Pitt football game at Heinz Field. And I did that because, man oh man, did Pitt pull off a huge win yesterday against Louisville. They are now heading to the semifinals of the ACC Conference Tournament. They won both of their pool play games in their three-team pool play pool, and they won that game 6-5 on a Bryce Hewlett walk-off. Just absolutely, like, great for that program because they're not known as a baseball program, and they just took down Louisville, who, quite frankly, is known as a baseball program. And a guy that was the cover boy on Tuesday's podcast, Jeffrey Wehler, we used his picture for the social media for the podcast. He went 3-for-5 with 3 RBIs, and he hit 2 tanks. Awesome game from him. And like I said, Hewlett, he did well, and they had an amazing, amazing start from Billy Corcoran, and then out of the bullpen, Baron Stewart threw 2 innings. He got the final 6 outs of the game. Just great stuff from the Panthers, and I'll get to my card and review it in a little bit, but that was the best win for me on that day. But like I said, let's touch on the card, actually. Let's go right into it. So my official bets for yesterday's podcast were, I started it off with Texas on the money line at -125 for a unit. Cash that. +120 Kentucky money line against Auburn. Hit that. And then Texas, they beat Oklahoma State 4-0. Kentucky beat Auburn 4-3. That was a tight game throughout. Pittsburgh, like I said, they hit at +190 on the money line. Half a unit. We cashed that. Pittsburgh was down in that game, and they came back and scored like 4 runs in the final 3 innings to win 6-5 there. Lipscomb, that one kind of hurt. It was, just a bad bet. Got to go back to the drawing board on the Bison. +125 on Alabama money line did hit, though. They beat Arkansas. The sky is falling in Fayetteville, let me just tell you that, because I like to listen to Phil Elson's radio show because he is an alumni from the school that I go to, and I just like to listen to him and see, like, hey, that could be me with SGP for years to come, maybe. You never know. The next play I had was +210 on Washington money line to beat my Oregon State Beavers, and Oregon State kind of surprised me. They got to Washington's ace early, knocked him out in 4 innings, but Washington was up 6-2 after the 5th inning, I believe, and that game was fun to watch on social media, because Pac-12 network is just so stupid. But so the first parlay I gave out on the podcast was Southern Miss in Miami, Florida. And like we will touch on in the news portion of this podcast, Miami, Florida lost. NC State is back. The Pac-9 Revenge Tour is on. So let's go, baby. I feel great about that. The big play of the day. Like I said, the Pittsburgh game was the best win. The parlay, the second one that I gave out, I added Oklahoma as a third team. We went 4-for-4. We went 4-0 picking the Big 12 games yesterday. Texas, we played it solo. And then we parlayed TCU, Texas Tech, and Oklahoma for plus 347. Awesome winner there on the pod. The rest of the picks, Liberty won, minus 195 there. I gave that out as a pick. Charlotte, money line, plus 140, lost. Minus 140, TCU, money line. That one won, like I said, in the parlay. Oregon, minus 135, they lost to Arizona. Virginia, money line, minus 150. They got their butts kicked by Florida State. Minus 280, Stanford money line, they won. Minus 315, Southern Miss money line, they won. Minus 165, Texas Tech money line, they won. Minus 150, Miami, Florida, they lost to NC State, like I mentioned. And then Oklahoma, minus 160, they beat West Virginia in the Big 12 nightcap. Two games were postponed due to weather yesterday. Texas A&M, minus 115 against Florida. And minus 235 Tennessee money line against Vanderbilt. Again, that last section, I personally didn't bet, but I wanted to run through them because I did give them out as my pick to win each game on the podcast. But yeah, let's jump into the news segment that I wanted to talk about today, and it's Tommy freaking Tanks. Tommy the Tank Engine from NC State. He went deep, not once, not twice, three times. He has 26 home runs on the season. He has broken NC State's season record for most home runs in a season. I thought he broke the freshman record that was set by Spencer Torkelson for most home runs as a freshman. I tweeted it out incorrectly. Forgive me. He's tied Torkelson at 26. One more tank, and he passes Torque for the NCAA all-time freshman lead. So yes, Tommy White hit three tanks, and good relief pitching sent NC State into the ACC Baseball Conference Tournament semifinals. With this win, NC State should be comfortably in the NCAA tournament. And like I said, the Pac-9 Revenge Tour is on. You know it's making good rounds when Scotty McCreery, big-time NC State fan, country music artist, tweets out Tommy Tanks. That's it. Like that was amazing to see out there on Twitter. Pretty dang cool that Scotty's tweeting about the baseball team. Now, this is what is fun about doing a college baseball podcast now, because I want to thank you guys. I tweeted out a picture that we are the 84th ranked baseball podcast on the airwaves right now. We went up 90 spots in the last 24 hours, which is just insane. And I want to thank you guys, because the attention that you guys give me allows me to be able to communicate with other guys on the platform that have way more ability than I do to be able to report on these games. And yesterday I had a few conversations with Aaron Fitt from D1 Baseball, and also I communicate with Ben Upton on Twitter all the time. He's the host of the 11.7 podcast, so it's very cool getting to interact with those guys. But Aaron Fitt in general, or in specific, he tweeted out, "So is the ball juiced or what? Three players, Tommy White, Parada, and Wagner, are all tied with 26 home runs, fourth most in ACC history, and NCAA tournament is still coming. Those guys all have real juice, ... But I mean, so did Seth Beer and so many others who never hit 26. Now, the talk about around the town in college baseball world is that either they're messing with the bats, or the balls are juiced, or maybe a little bit of both. And I'm not going to put it past them. My theory at the beginning of the season was that they did something with the baseball because the MLB was out and they wanted to draw more attention into college baseball. And I'm not arguing against it. I like the offensive side of college baseball, and I'm not going to argue against a good pitching duel, but 12-8 game like the Oregon State Washington game at midnight last night was everything that a college baseball fan wants to watch for, and that's just amazing. So again, I had a little bit of an interaction with Fit, and he tweeted out, in 2019, there were 12,383 total home runs in 16,538 baseball games. This year, there's 15,862 home runs in 15,684 games. That's 3,479 more home runs in 854 fewer games this year. Aaron Fitt then continues, juiced balls, juiced bats, small strike zones due to TrackMan accountability, all three, it's gorilla ball again. And boy, oh boy, if the books don't adjust to what we saw last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament, it's over city. Because I've said it on this podcast before, I'll say it right now again, I had some buddies on the Central Michigan baseball team that had told me the ball just felt different. Now, they play in the MAC conference. You never know what ball they're going to get. They said they were getting a different brand of balls, whether it's Diamond or Wilson or Rawlings, whatever other baseballs that they use in the college level. They didn't have a set brand of ball that they used. So sometimes those balls are softer and they're like basically mush off a college baseball bat. And sometimes they're a little bit harder. The laces are a little bit firmer. And those things fly. Now, I don't know what balls Tennessee uses, but I think every conference should interest themselves in some of those balls, because the balls just fly off of their bats. And also the bats do sound a little bit off. I'll just say that. I'm going to leave it there. But it is a topic of conversation, and I know that once these mid-majors get their bats on some of these balls that are going to be used in the NCAA tournament, they're going to be the sharpest, the best balls that the NCAA can offer. Those bats are going to trampoline with the best baseballs. So it happened last year. I know it for a fact. So I just want to get my angle out there early. That way all of you guys know. And let's get into today's. I have 14 games with betting odds on them currently. I'm using an American book. It's the originator for college baseball lines. I've been paying attention to it for like 2 or 3 months now. These guys are always out first with their lines, and then the rest that follow, they juice their lines to favor them more often than not. I know there's a couple of international books that offer like 40 games. Now, capping 40 games for college baseball is extremely tough and extremely long, because you have to find out what pitching matchups are, and I'm not going to provide a pick if I don't know who's going to be pitching for each team. And half of these mid-major athletic departments don't do write-ups and probable pitchers, and I don't follow all the beat writers for the Coppin States of the world. So that's just my limit to the podcast. But I will tell you, I have gotten plenty of DMs from you guys, the listeners, on Twitter asking me, hey, what's your opinion for this game? And I am totally up for it. I love interacting with you guys. And all I ask for is just a little bit of love back, whether it's a like on Twitter on one of the posts, one of the highlights that we post. Follow me on Twitter at 77NB. That's the word 70, the number 7NB. Follow the show on Twitter at TCE on SGPN. But also like, rate, subscribe, review the podcasts on whatever platform you're listening to. It helps us a ton. You guys don't even know. That's why we have shot up so far up the charts. We are now the third ranked college baseball podcast out there on the airwaves, and it's amazing that you guys have been able to do this for us. No Colby again today. It's tough with him being on the West Coast and all these lines get released in the middle of the night. So most of these podcasts for this week is just going to be just me, like the first 2 days. But you know what? I'm not complaining, and I don't think we all are complaining. We've had 2 straight winning days. Let's keep it up. But first, before we get into the games today, I'm going to tell you about WinBet. make sure to get down on Wynn's Bet $50, Win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you up to $200 in free bets. Plus, the Wynn Bet Casino is now offering 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. All users can receive a $20 free bet when they win, lose, or push a three-leg build-your-own-bet parlay between Thursday and Saturday. Players can take advantage of the offer on the NBA playoffs or NHL playoffs. The match is coming to the Wynn, and they're playing on the Wynn Resorts golf course, which is going to be awesome. And you can bet it exclusively on Wynn Bet. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers are teaming up. They're favored at minus 200 against the young guns Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes at plus 165. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit wynnbet.com to get started. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Now on to Sleeper. Sleeper is the fastest growing fantasy platform today with millions of players. You probably already have a fantasy league on there, and I use it for some of mine. It's a game-changing product unlike anything else in the industry, and now you can make money on Sleeper too by playing their new over-under game. It's super simple. First, in any sport, choose two or more players that you like and pick the over or under. For example, the number of points scored in basketball or number of hits recorded in baseball. Then, choose the amount of money you want to enter into the contest. If you pick correctly, you can win anywhere from 2 times to over 20 times the amount of money you put in. The main reason I'm excited about the over-under on Sleeper is that it's the only app where I can join my buddies' contests and we can all play together. It's got a built-in group chat where I can see and copy my friends' picks with a tap of the button. It's insanely fun to ride it out all together. Stop what you're doing and download Sleeper now to play their new over-under game, have fun with your friends, and make some money. Use our promo code SGPMLB and get your free 100% deposit up to $100. Okay. Like I said, great slate of baseball games today. We had a couple of rainouts. So there's a couple of repeats. And I will let you know when there is a repeat because most of my handicapping for the same game is from yesterday's podcast. And if that's the same, you guys can basically just fast forward about 3 minutes and I'll be on to the next game. But this game is listed on the book at the top of the page at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, but I'm seeing that it starts at 6 p.m. Either way, I'm going to cover it because it may disappear at 10. This is in the Big Ten tournament in Omaha, Nebraska. The number 8 seed, Indiana, who's 25-30 on the year, 10-14 in the Big Ten, they're plus 135 against the 1 seed, Maryland, who's 44-10, 18-5 in the Big Ten, and they're minus 165 on the money line. A week ago, last Thursday, Indiana gave up almost as many runs to Iowa as the Hoosiers football team did points versus the Hawkeyes last fall. It's been a very disappointing season for IU so far, and they're ranked 116th in the RPI, 0-2 versus the top 25 in the RPI. Maryland is 3rd in the RPI. They're 33-9 versus the RPI's top 200. For Indiana, Ty Bothwell is going to be starting. He's 3-2 with a 4.03 ERA, 61 strikeouts, 31 walks with 44.2 innings pitched on the year. And for Maryland, Jason Savakul, who's 8-2 with a 2.71 ERA, 109 strikeouts on the year, 24 walks, and 93 innings pitched. Indiana, in the act of them throwing off and not throwing their ace, they're just digging their own grave. I feel like a criminal taking Maryland minus 165 from the books, but we're going to do it anyway. I'm not going to play that as a solo bet. We're going to throw that into a parlay. We'll get into the parlays at the end of the podcast. Next game. This, I think, is going to be the first game of the college baseball day. Again, in the Big 12 tournament in Arlington Globe Life Park at 10 a.m. Eastern, we have the 8 seed in the Big 12, Baylor, who's 26-27 on the year, 7-17, versus the 4 seed in the Big 12, Oklahoma State, who's 36-19, 15-9 in conference. Oklahoma State opens as a minus 150 favorite, and Baylor is plus 120 as the underdog. Baylor put up a great fight against TCU, but their pitching staff is damaged goods with all of their injuries, and this is another no-brainer play with Oklahoma State at minus 150 after not pitching their ace Justin Campbell against Texas. It's literally impossible for me to predict a starting pitcher. Blake Helton, for example, came out of nowhere yesterday with only 3 starts on the year, and he threw 5 scoreless against the number 1 seed in the Big 12 TCU. So there is a possibility that a Horned Frog could come out and shove against this inconsistent Oklahoma State baseball team. But with Justin Campbell on the mound, their right-hander, their horse, he's 8-2 on the year with a 3.71 ERA, 123 strikeouts, only 23 walks, and 87.1 innings pitched. With the season on the line, or their Pac-12 tournament championship on the line, and a hosting opportunity on the line, expect Campbell to shove and the Pokes to win this one easy. I'm going to be taking them minus 150. Again, that'll be included in the official betting lineup card at the end of the podcast. At 10:30 a.m. in the SEC in Hoover, Alabama, the number 7 seed Florida, who's 36-20, 15-15 in the conference, they're playing the 2 seed Texas A&M, who's 35-17, 19-11 in the conference. A&M opens as a minus 130 favorite, and Florida's plus 100. This is a repeat game from yesterday, so I will use the same handicap because the pitching matchup has not changed. If you listened to yesterday's podcast, just go ahead and fast forward 3 minutes as I turn my notebook back and find this game for you guys to read off my handicap here. So, for Florida and Texas A&M, A&M, since April 13th, I can't read my own handwriting. Dang, I hate when people say that on the podcast. But yeah, it's early April. Since early April, the Aggies are 19-6 with an electric offense. And speaking of electric, how about that ending in the Florida to South Carolina game the other night? Just, I still cannot believe that the third base coach had 2 blunders and 2 straight balls put in play, and they almost did not score in that inning when they easily should have. Anyways, for Florida, a kid that I'm absolutely loving right now, he filled into the rotation due to Hunter Barco's Tommy John surgery when he stepped out. Brandon Neely, he's 3-1 on the year with a 3.38 ERA, 64 strikeouts with 15 walks and 56 innings pitched, and his opponents are batting only 192 against him. On the other end, Texas A&M will be starting their ace, Nathan Detmer, who's 5-2 with a 3.93 ERA. He's coming off his worst start over the last month, but he has 67 strikeouts, 20 walks, and 73.1 innings pitched this year. As a Florida fan, I'm rooting for the Gators, but I think the pick here has to be Texas A&M, as they have won 7 straight SEC series coming into this week, and where Florida was playing late, handicap actually doesn't even matter anymore because they did not even play yesterday. But I was basically saying yesterday how late they were up coming back and playing the next day in the afternoon was going to be a little bit of an issue, but Texas A&M minus 130, and the money line's going to be the play for that game. Okay, welcome back, everybody that skipped ahead. This is where we're going to touch on a huge layup. The number 7 seed Georgia Tech, who's 33-22 on the year, 15-15 in the ACC. They'll be playing the number 2 seed Louisville, who's 38-17-1 on the year, 18-11-1 in ACC play. Pittsburgh just clinched a spot in the semifinals out of this pool. So now, what are the Cardinals actually playing for? Whereas Georgia Tech is on the NCAA tournament bubble and would love a win against a top 10 RPI team. Louisville also wasted their ace, Jared Poland, in the 8th and 9th inning yesterday versus Pitt. And that, folks, is why you don't pitch off in Game 1. Whether it's the conference tournament, whether it's the NCAA tournament, pitch your ace in Game 1. You never know what's going to happen, and you don't want to feel forced to throw him late in the game to try to save yourself. Because once you fall, if you lose that first game by throwing off, Now you have to play four more games to advance through the regional or to win your conference tournament. It's just the logic there. Yeah, I understand it. Like, if you can afford to win the game without throwing your best pitcher, now you get your best pitcher for a game against a better opponent. But just win your first game and then figure the rest out later. That's the strategy that just works best. I'd never understand it, but it happens. So Georgia Tech money line is going to be the play here. I don't know why this line's not out yet, because both these teams did not play late yesterday, whereas other teams did play later than these guys, and lines are out. So, yeah, I don't quite understand that one. Sweaty Sack Summer is back, and it's approaching. It's time for you to prioritize the comfort of your crotch. That's why the Kings of Crotch Comfort, Manscaped, have spent 2 years designing the most comfortable boxer briefs out there. They're so breathable that it's like gills for your groin. They even trademarked the jewel pouch, so you know it's serious. I think it's time for you to invest in your family jewels and let your bulge breathe, and get 20% off plus free shipping by using the code SGP at manscaped.com. The tagless waistband hugs your body without digging in, and it lays flat against your skin to reduce chafing. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. Once Boxers 2.0 touch your sack, you'll never want to go back. Whew. Okay. So, turn the page to the next couple of games here. At 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, a Pac-12 game is scheduled here. Arizona State, the 8th seed, they're 25-31 on the year, 13-17 in the Pac-12. They will be playing the 4 seed Oregon, who's 35-22, 18-12 in the Pac-12. Oregon opens as -200 favorites against Arizona, who's +160. After a Sun Devil loss to Stanford and a Duck loss to Arizona, we have this loser's bracket game. The Ducks were in that Wildcats game till the bitter end, and I don't think they're ready for their tournament run to end just quite yet. I project that, well, it's not even a projection anymore, because my projection was correct. I saw Shotgun Spratling of D1 Baseball tweet out the confirmed matchups for this pitching matchups for this game here. Arizona State will be throwing Tyler Meyer, who's 3-1 on the year, 5.61 ERA. 50 strikeouts, 26 walks in 51.1 innings pitched. And Oregon, they're throwing their ace, Isaac Ion, who's 4-3 with a 5.54 ERA, 72 strikeouts, 26 walks in 78 innings pitched. With Oregon throwing their ace in the elimination game, my prediction is that they will let their horse die on his sword, and that the bullpens don't really come into play in this game. So, my thought process is to go with the Ducks, who also have the better offense here. Oregon has a top 25 team batting average in the country, batting .308, and they're scoring 7.5 runs per game. The Sun Devils can't match, therefore, I'll pick the Ducks -200. This game, also listed for 1 o'clock p.m., but I think the actual game time is going to be 3 o'clock p.m. It's all jacked because of the weather going on across America. And I don't know if you can hear the rain dripping on my roof right now, but it is raining in southeastern Michigan as well, just like it is all over the southeast of the country and over there, wherever. It's raining everywhere, basically. Yeah, just frustrating. But, in the American, Clearwater, Florida, the 4 seed Cincinnati, who's 24-29 in the year, 12-12 in the AAC, will be playing the number 1 seed East Carolina, who's 39-18 and 20-4 in the conference. ECU opens as a -195 favorite against Cincinnati, who's +155. On Tuesday, Cincinnati's Bo Keithley threw a complete game for the Bearcats, so they didn't burn a single bullpen arm against Tulane. Whereas the Pirates threw their ace C.J. Mayhew, who only threw 4 innings, and then ECU went deep into their pen. In a scary test against the 8-seeded South Florida Bulls, ECU won 7-4 late in that game. I think they scored like 4 runs in the last 3 innings themselves to win that game as well. ECU should still be good enough to get out of here with a win, but don't bet it at -195. It's too sketchy. Again, here's another game that I previewed on yesterday's podcast. If you remember the handicap, go ahead and skip ahead like 3 minutes for this one, because we have, at a projected time of 1:30, the Battle of Tennessee, where I handicapped yesterday. Tennessee today is a -235 favorite, and Vanderbilt is a +180 favorite. Let me go back to this game right here. So, I don't need the... whatever. So, a tweet that has done really well for me as of late is this interview with Tony Vitello on the SEC Network on SEC Now. And man, he's one hell of a car salesman, and I would run through a brick wall for the guy in the way that he was talking about recruiting guys with an edge, but they're not really Southern baseball team, so they need to get guys with attitude to play like well for them, basically, because they don't have the brand built up like in Arkansas, LSU, or Florida in the SEC. So he purposely recruited guys just with a rock hard kind of competitiveness to them. No official pitchers have been announced for this game for either team, but I think Tennessee will either throw the SEC Pitcher of the Year, Chase Dolander, or the number 2 college arm for the 2022 MLB draft, courtesy of Jonathan Mayo, Blade Tidwell. Mayo, friend of the program, I trust what he's saying about these prospects, and we're hoping to get him on prior to the NCAA tournament. As for Vanderbilt, I pretty much knew what Tim Corbin was doing. I read him like a book. He didn't throw Carter Holton on the weekend series against LSU, and he saved him for game 1 in Hoover, and he absolutely dealt against Ole Miss to get him into this spot. So I'm making Devin Futrell my projected starter here. He's 8-2 on the year with a 3.27 ERA, 59 strikeouts, 10 walks in 55 innings pitched. With crappy weather and a deep outfield, Hoover is going to play tough for the Bombers of Tennessee. I'll be watching this game intently to see how much raw power the Volunteers have, and that way I'll know how confident I should be in them playing in Omaha this year. Okay, back to the games that are new for today's slate. Where are we at? I lost my spot because I'm all over the place and not organized. Around 3-ish, we have a Pac-12 matchup. They didn't give us firm times. They just said about like 47 minutes. They were very specific, actually. 47 minutes after last pitch of the game. So we have a matchup between Washington and UCLA. Washington has a to-be-determined pitcher, whereas UCLA is throwing Ethan Flanagan, who is their multi-purpose best pitcher on the staff, who will attempt to save their Pac-12 tournament hopes. Washington used a lot of pitching yesterday against Oregon State last night, and I like UCLA here to win this matchup. No lines are up currently, but I would just keep that one to pick. I don't know if I'm actually going to bet them. It just depends on their price, really. So at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, we have number 9 seed. I screwed that up. They're the number 9 seed Florida State, who's 33-22. No. God damn it, what did I do? I have no idea what I'm reading here. Let's go find their records real quick, because I screwed this up. Notre Dame and Florida State. Just got to pull up trusty D1Baseball.com real quick so I can give you accurate information. I'll grab a drink while I'm doing this, too. Damn, we were flying, making great time, too. That blows. It is what it is. Um, Okay. So, Florida State, 33-22 on the year, 15-15 in the conference. They're the 9 seed in the ACC tournament. They're going up against Notre Dame, who's 33-13, 16-11 in the ACC. So I actually wrote these things down. Why does Florida State have 10 more games played than Notre Dame? That's just... Florida State's 33-22, and Notre Dame's 33-13. Did they not play many games in February when they weren't going to be able to basically host in warm weather? Anyways, Notre Dame, -140 on the money line. They're the favorites. Florida State, +110. They're the dogs. Florida State is 1-0 and have a victory over Virginia in the ACC tournament. Do the Seminoles make it 3 of the lowest seeds in the ACC tournament semifinals? I have absolutely no idea what to expect here, because in the past 2 games, we've seen Pittsburgh beat the number 2 seed Louisville, and then we saw NC State beat the number 3 seed Miami. So I think that's the 11 and the 10 seed in the semifinals for this ACC tournament. And offense is reigning in this tournament. Honestly, if your book gives you totals, just take an over, because the wind seems to be blowing out every day. Tommy Tanks had 3 line drives to the opposite side of the field. All of them got over the fence with no issues. And there's been like 4 or 5 home runs hit in every game. Offense has been wild in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the ACC. 2 of the best starters in the ACC are facing off against each other here. For Florida State, the dude, Parker Messick, is 6-4 on the year, 3.05 ERA, and an NCAA leading 136 strikeouts with only 15 walks. And against him will be John Michael Bertrand, who's 7-2 on the year with a 2.62 ERA, 86 strikeouts, 18 walks in 82.1 innings pitched. My gut is telling me to go with the Fighting Irish, as they are the better all-around team and are trying to make earn a national host in the NCAA tournament. So I'll pick them to win here, but I'm not going to bet it at -140. That's a little too juicy for me in what is a little bit of a 60%, 40% game. It's not quite a coin flip like other people would say. I would say Notre Dame is slightly my favorite to win this game, but I could easily see Florida State winning this one and Parker Messick going 9 complete innings. So you never know what's going to happen with aces on the mound. At 5 p.m. Eastern time, the number 5 seed in the Big 12 tournament, Texas, who's 40-17 on the year, 14-10 in their conference, going up against the number one seed in the Big 12, TCU, who's 36-18 and 16-8 in conference. Texas took 2 of 3 against the Horned Frogs in the regular season, as they open up as -135 favorites against the number one seeded TCU, who is a +105 dog. Texas is 15th in the RPI and 10-6 versus the RPI's 25 through 50 team range, whereas TCU's 33rd in the RPI and 3-6 versus the top 25 RPI teams. A lot of people talk shit on the RPI, but I actually think it has TCU pegged correctly, because quite honestly, they don't pass my eye test. So give me Texas on the money line here. Texas, they're going to be pitching Lucas Gordon, who's 6-1 on the year, 2.55 ERA, 61 strikeouts, 19 walks in 67 innings pitched. And TCU will be throwing Riley Cornelio, who's 4-4 with a 4.03 ERA, 72 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 67 innings pitched. Lucas Gordon is confirmed throwing. I'm projecting Riley Cornelio to throw for the Horned Frogs. But, I mean, Texas might be back. I think they outclassed the Frogs just like they did with Oklahoma State yesterday. Texas -135 is the play. Also, this game in the SEC will be around 5:30-ish p.m. The 12 seed Kentucky, who's 31-24 on the year, 12-18 in the SEC. They'll be playing the number 4 seed in the SEC, 37-18, LSU Tigers, who's 17-13 in the SEC. Kentucky had a magical win against Auburn and a great cash for us, but Hoover is an LSU Invitational, and the Tigers will not lose their first game of this tournament. LSU is opened up as a minus 185 betting favorite, and Kentucky is a plus 150 dog. LSU would be a nice parlay building pick. Around 7:30-ish for this Pac-12 tournament, we have Arizona versus Stanford, and the Cardinal is tossing a top three pitcher in the Pac-12, and he flat out single-handedly wins them games. I'm talking about Alex Williams, who's 8-1 on the year with a 1.67 ERA, 80 strikeouts, 19 walks in 86.1 innings pitched, and his opponents have a batting average of 192 against him. Stanford is definitely a parlayable play today. We're brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. So what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole foods, whole food source superfoods. I stumbled over that dang word, that dang line, two episodes in a row. I'll get better, Athletic Greens. Also, probiotics and adaptions to help you start your day right. The special blend of ingredients support your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. It costs you less than $3 a day, and you're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. AG1 supports better sleep quality and recovery, and Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/SGP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Whew. All right, we got a few more games here. Next one in the ACC at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern. The number 12 seed Clemson, who's 35-22, 13-16 in the conference. They'll be playing the number 1 seed Virginia Tech in this pool, who's 40-11, 19-9 in the conference. Virginia Tech is minus 140 and Clemson is minus 110. I am pronouncing Clemson dead, as they can't move on past this round in the ACC tournament, and they're not going to be making the big dance. No pitchers are confirmed. Clemson has already used their ace, Mac England, so I'm projecting them to start Jeffrey Gilbert, who's their number 2 starter. He'll get the start, but this one, I do not feel much confidence in this guy at all. Gilbert, he's 5-2 with a 5.10 ERA, 51 strikeouts, 16 walks, and 42.1 innings pitched. He may not go. That's what I mean by no confidence at all. I really don't know who to project in that game, but Jeffrey Gilbert would be my guess. As for the Hokies, I think they may throw off here, which I'm not a fan of, but I'm kind of sniffing it out because Clemson's 0-1 in this tournament already. So they may go with a reliever. I'm going to be hawking their social media to see if they pitch Green or Hackenberg. If not, I wouldn't be extremely comfortable in betting Tech. But if they do throw one of their top two dogs, I definitely will pick them to win this game. Hold on, my hair is a mess. Dude, I'm a wreck of this podcast, but we're a trooper. We're going to keep fighting on. We're going to win some bets for the people. 7 o'clock p.m., we head to Omaha for a Big Ten matchup containing my Michigan Wolverines, where I think Michigan bullpen will get exposed by Illinois. Who has a team batting average of .293 and scoring an average of over 7 runs a game. This Michigan pitching staff has been hot garbage since our pitching coach Chris Fetter went to the coach the Detroit Tigers. I mean, he's been great there, so I've been kind of happy, but Bakich has not been able to find a good pitching coach quite like Fetter yet. Michigan will start their true freshman Friday guy, whereas Illinois is going to be starting their horse, Cole Kirschieper, who's 5-7-2 with a 3.17 ERA, 85 strikeouts, 27 walks, and 82.1 innings pitched. I'm not confident, and I'm not happy in Michigan, so give me Illinois as a dog, plus 120, when they're the higher seed and had more success in the Big Ten. These teams didn't play each other during the regular season, but with Illinois in their ace pitching. Give me the Fighting Illini. At 8:30 p.m. in the Big 12, the number 3 seed Oklahoma, who's 34-20, 15-9 in the conference, is playing against the 2 seed Texas Tech, who's 37-18 and 15-9 in the conference. Texas Tech opens as a slight favorite at -125, and the OU is the slight dog at -105. These two squads are coming off a weekend where they just played each other, and the Sooners won the first two games of the series. I'm projecting the same pitching matchup as last Friday, where the Sooners won, as both of those guys fall into line right here. OU is 30th in the RPI, 11-5 versus RPI top 25 to 50 teams in that range, and Texas Tech is 36th in the RPI in 3-10 versus the RPI top 25 to 50 range. Oklahoma is throwing David Sandlin, who's 6-3 with a 5.70 ERA, 67 strikeouts, 25 walks in 71 innings pitched. In his last start against Texas Tech, he went 5 innings deep, 2 runs, gave up 7 hits, 7 punchies, with 2 walks. As for Texas Tech, they'll be throwing their ace, Brandon Birdsell, and this is confirmed. He will be pitching. He's 8-3 on the year with a 2.75 ERA, 96 strikeouts, 24 walks in 72 innings pitched. In his last outing against Oklahoma on Friday, he threw 4 innings, gave up 6 runs on 8 hits with only 5 strikeouts and 1 walk. As I said yesterday, I think Texas Tech wins the Big 12 tournament, and for that reason, I think that's my reasoning is that they lined up their ace to set up against their best competition here, Oklahoma, in the winner's bracket of their pool. I love a bounce-back angle for Birdsell here, and I'll bet the Red Raiders at -125. The last game on our slate for the day with betting lines. We've got two more games that are confirmed. They're baseball games that are scheduled to play on Thursday. There's no betting lines on them. One game I'm expecting betting lines, one game I'm not really. Okay, at 11-ish p.m. in the Pac-12, the number 6 seed Cal, who won last night against UCLA, that game went final at like 3 in the morning Eastern time. Cal's 29-25 on the year, 14-16 in the Pac-12 conference. They'll be playing the number 2 seed Oregon State, who's 42-13, 20-10 in the conference. The handicap is 2 words: Cooper Jerpy. Cal is coming in winning 7 straight games, but against bad competition. 3 against New Mexico, 3 against Utah, and 1 against UCLA, who threw off. This will be the first time these kids face a legit pitcher in the last 3 weeks, so roll Beavs here. Lastly, last game on our slate for today that there's going to be American betting lines on. I'll include this game just in case, because I think there's no way they actually play due to weather, but I would pick Arkansas with Connor Noland on the mound to beat either Texas A&M or Florida, who would possibly be playing a doubleheader with a 9-hour wait in between. The Hogs would be an absolute lock. Just too bad they won't play today. And that's not going to be the same handicap as tomorrow, if these teams have a full day's rest before playing Arkansas. But, I mean, if that is a doubleheader and you're waiting around in your hotel for like 9 hours, that's not fun, and you're going to come out with dead legs. Before we get into the official betting lineup card for Thursday, May 26th, I need to tell you about IP Vanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well be giving away your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IP Vanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed for your computers, tablets, phones, and even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is just tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So, go to ipvanish.com/SGP and use the promotional code SGP to claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. Thank you, IPVanish. Now let's jump into the official betting lineup card for Thursday, May 26th in college baseball. The official bets that I'm going to be playing for today: Oklahoma State -150. I like them on the money line, and I like them. I'm not going to throw that into a parlay because I really, really like this game, and I don't want it to be ruined by another game also on this slate. So at -150, I'm going to bet it. It's really juicy. I'm going to put a unit and a half on it. So 1.5 units on -150 Oklahoma State. It eliminates the juice. It allows me to squeeze some good value there. I just really like them going up against the Baylor Bears team that is depleted in their pitching staff. The next game, I'm going to wait till the betting odds get released, but Georgia Tech money line will be my play. A half unit if the odds are larger than +150 on them, one unit otherwise. -125 Texas is the next play. Texas against TCU. Again, this is just trusting that from what I've seen all year in Texas playing, I think Texas is just a better team than TCU right now. -125, one unit on the Longhorns there. Next, +120, I'm taking Illinois against my Michigan squad. I'm not taking Texas A&M against Florida, but because I'm going to be rooting for Florida. I am going to be rooting for Michigan in this game, but I just don't think they have what it takes to get it done in the Big Ten tournament, and their season's probably going to come to an end the game after this Illinois game because it's double elimination in Omaha, Nebraska, Charles Schwab Field, where the College World Series will be played. Again, the goal is that I go out there for at least a couple of days. Still got to plan out my schedule for that, though. Next on the card, -125, Texas Tech. We're going to put a unit onto that one. Texas Tech is playing Oklahoma, and really that's just a gamble on Birdsell being Birdsell. If Birdsell's not going to be Birdsell and he's going to sell like he did against Oklahoma last time out with four innings, we could be in trouble. But the guy's been a dude all year long, so I'm expecting at least 6-7 innings from the guy, and Texas Tech to ride him for as long as they need until they can turn it over to a guy they're comfortable with in the bullpen. Lastly, it'll be one of the last games played of the day. There's no lines out for it yet. They don't even have a confirmed opponent, but that's how confident I am in Arkansas beating the loser of the Florida Texas A&M game. So I'll be taking the money line on that imaginary game because they will not actually play there. Whew. Okay, so the straight bets are out of the way. Now let's talk about the parlay builders that I said on this podcast. We have four options that I really like for today. First, before we touch on those options, the parlays on yesterday's podcast went 1-1, bringing our podcast parlay record to 5-4 on the year, hitting at 56%, bringing in tons of money. Too bad I haven't actually kept track or record of how much units we've made on these podcast parlays, but we're 5-4, and all of them have been plus money hits. So I know we're at least two units positive there, especially after our plus 347 hit yesterday, which brought in over a unit and a half. So the four games that I like to build a parlay around today is -165 Maryland against Indiana, minus 185 LSU against Kentucky, minus 165 Stanford against Arizona, and whatever they list Oregon State as. Oregon State would be my favorite piece here, but I don't see a price at the time of this recording, so I'm not going to give that out and imagine or try to come up with my own odds for a parlay, but honestly, throw them in there with any of these three teams, and that would be a good choice. As for LSU, there's a chance they may not even play, so that leaves me with plus 157 Maryland and Stanford on the money line. They're going to be playing pretty much at the same time, so it's going to be cool if you have two TVs or two devices to watch, and you have Pac-12 Network, because that is such a joke, and I'm probably not even going to be able to watch the Stanford game, except for the highlights that they post on Twitter. But yes, they're basically going to be playing at the same time of the day. I'll be able to post the results at like 10 o'clock tonight. Maryland money line, Stanford money line, plus 157. That is the parlay of the day. Let's go. Let's hit two in a row. Thank you guys for listening again today. You guys have been amazing to us, and you're the reason why we're recording daily podcasts from now until the end of Romaha. You've been living the better side of college baseball. Leave us a like, rating, review, wherever you listen to your podcasts, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. I don't know if there's any others out there. Maybe you're listening on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com website. Check that out. I might have a couple of college softball bets coming out in the future with the game starting tomorrow on Friday in the Super Regionals. Let me know if I should be doing that and covering that maybe tomorrow's podcast. But yeah. Thank you guys. Adios, amigos. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.